under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. I'm looking forward to a dialogue and discussion from you, your questions, your comments, and responses from the broadcast today as we think about a subject that I believe should be on the hearts and the minds of every individual tuned in today. What is eternal security? What does it mean in theological doctrinal circles? How do you get eternal security? What is salvation about? How is a person saved? Is a person saved by having enough rosary beads or doing enough 10 Hail Marys? How is a person saved? Is it going to church? Is it paying your tithes? Is it being a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good son or daughter? All of those things fall into the picture, but is that salvation? Does that give eternal security? Those are some theological questions that we're bound about today and talk about. We have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps and Brother Ken McElfresh. We're going to be roundtable discussing these things. And after a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion with us today on that subject. Perhaps you're wondering, how do I get saved? How can I be assured that I have eternal security? What does it mean, eternal security? What does it mean to have everlasting life that the Scripture talks about? Those are questions, theological questions, that I believe we need to delve into with the breadth and the depth of it and ask the question. You ask the question, others asking the question, am I truly saved? Have I been born again? What does it mean? A lot of these terms you rarely hear today. From most of the modern pulpits, you'll never hear eternal security. You'll never hear the word being born again or being lost and going to hell. Most will not talk about those subjects from the pulpits today, simply because in the modern pulpit, there's the mindset that it might alienate someone, it might embarrass someone, might drive someone away, or some of the numbers, nickels, and noses might fade away and not be in the churches. I'm concerned about that, and I pray that you are. And the purpose of the broadcast today on Let's Face the Issues is for us to confront these questions and answer them honestly before the God. So stay tuned. Pick up the telephone even. Pick up your phone, dial, text, send a message to others telling them, tune in to that very, very important subject issue that we're discussing. So ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ponder today. Perhaps you're wondering today. Perhaps you've not given any real consideration today. Perhaps you've not thought about tomorrow, what takes place tomorrow, what happens the next day, etc., etc. We'll talk about all of these nuances of the question, what is eternal security? What does it mean to be born again? And as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 reminds us that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So as we talk about issues, let me remind you, we always use the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant book. It's the truth book, the word of God. Now, some disagree with truth. Some want to bifurcate truth. Others simply believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, I'm told, based on the recent survey, that most of the millennials today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. I'm looking at the headline about that. Most young Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article begins with the fact that Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things. Truth is talking about real events, facts, actualities, the state of being the case of fact, not fiction, not mythology, but fact. And ladies and gentlemen, that age group, 55% of them say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They go on to say each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. In fact, it goes back to George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made the statement that is so, I believe, so fitting today. He says the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, whether it's the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, or it's the Republicans and some of the rhinos. It doesn't make any difference which side of the coast you live on, whether it's the left coast or the right coast. There's truth is still truth. We can't bifurcate truth. And I'm concerned when I read a major article that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement that is applicable in this era. Jan Hus said, and I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. I believe it's time as Christians, conservatives, patriots in America today that we seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth on the Marxist media. You won't find truth in all of the areas you look at until we go back to the truth book, the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. That is the book, the B-I-B-L-E, that we need to depend on even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the equipment that is needed for backup equipment, the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an urgent subject today, an urgent issue today. We have today so many that you get up of a morning, you get dressed, you have breakfast, you get the car, you zip to work, kids get on the yellow school bus and go to school, come back, go through the routine of dinner, and then going to bed, getting up, started the routine each and every day. Perhaps you've not given any thought about eternity. Perhaps you've not given any thought about what really happens out there in eternity. Perhaps you've not thought about tomorrow. I'm reminded, and I'll give you this little narrative before we start our discussion, a round table about what is eternal security. What does a person need to do to be saved? How do we know we're saved? Before we get into the depth of that, let me just remind you of it by an illustration that was given by Dr. R.G. Lee many years ago. Dr. Lee was the golden tongue orator, as he was called, within the realm of preaching circles. Dr. Lee told the story about one occasion when he was preaching in another church, not in his home church, but in a different church. And after the Sunday morning service, as he told the story so many times, he was greeting the congregation one by one as they'd leave the fellowship, leave the worship center. Dr. Lee told about one young man that as he shook his hand, he asked him, what do you do? What are you doing? What work are you in? He said, well, I'm in college. Dr. Lee said, what are you studying? The young man said, engineering. Dr. Lee said, what do you plan to do when you graduate? Well, I plan on getting a job with an engineering company, he said. I plan on eventually getting married. And Dr. Lee said, then what? He said, well, I plan to work and be diligent and be successful, and perhaps one day would be able to be a partner in the firm that I'd be working in. And Dr. Lee smiled and said, that's good, but what then? He said, well, I'll work hard and perhaps one day be able to retire. And Dr. Lee said, that's commendable. What then? He said, well, I plan on traveling, my wife, my family, take it easy and do things we've not been able to do for all of those years, be able to just have a leisurely life. Dr. Lee said, well, that's commendable. Many people have that aspiration and goal, but what then? He said, well, I reckon one day I'll die. Dr. Lee said, what then? The young man said, I never have given that any thought and consideration. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is the condition that I believe most people are in today, never giving thought to the what then. After this life, what then? After this life, where will you be? What will eternity be for you? That's what we're talking about today, and I'm delighted to have Dr. Phelps with us, and Brother Ken Michaelfresh. Brother Ken is the coordinator in the Conservative Theological University, working with our students coming in. May I just simply say, men, thank you for joining me today and for the privilege we have of talking about this subject. Dr. Phelps, if you would, kick us off giving some insight and thought on why this is important and why we're here, what we're wanting to accomplish today.
One of the things I remember looking at the newspaper sometime, I don't usually do that every day. It doesn't attract my attention. But there is a comic in the newspaper, The Family Circus, that I like to look at. Many years ago, I saw one where a mother was telling the children the importance of the future. And she says to the children, the future is where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And each of us must realize that there is an eternal destiny awaiting all of us. We need to be ready for our eternal destiny. And we can't be ready if we are partakers of God's great salvation in Christ. The best place to be when it comes to the future, when it comes to the present, anytime and all time, is in Christ. When we receive God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, then we become part of the family of God.
Amen.
And we have a sure destiny. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to add one word, forever.
Forever, amen.
Forever.
That's right.
And that's the thought I'd like to suggest to you today. We can be sure of our eternal destiny when we have Jesus as our personal Savior.
Amen. I like that. Brother Ken, what do you say in starting our broadcast today? What do you say to our listeners and the importance of what we're talking about?
Well, thank you for having me today, Pastor, and welcome to all of our listeners. What a joy it is to be able to serve the Lord full time here.
Amen.
At the university and at the church, and being in retirement, this is a great place to be, and I'm having the time of my life. So Jesus taught more about the afterlife than any other speaker or teacher in the Bible, or really any other person in the Bible, and his teachings were revolutionary. Mm-hmm. He was someone, though, that spoke about the afterlife as someone with authority. He came directly from heaven to disclose to us very critical and urgent divine truth. How do we navigate through this metaphor that he used in Matthew chapter 7? And it's pictured like this. We're all on a journey, and we're presented with paths, gates, and destinations. And hopefully I'll have a little bit of time to expand on that. But Jesus, as the great teacher, he spoke about two afterlife destinations that are unchangeable.
Yes.
We use words like eternal, everlasting. And those two definitions are heaven and hell.
Right.
He talked about that there's consciousness immediately after death. He shared that there's a final resurrection and judgment of the lost and the saved. And then he also described certain characteristics in the nature of resurrected heavenly life he shared with us. So anytime I look at a Bible subject, I always go back to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Where did he speak? What did he emphasize? What were the great truths that he did? And certainly he spent a lot of his time on the afterlife.
Amen. So you would say then that Jesus is the authority on the subject. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
I like that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. When it comes down to that, ladies and gentlemen, it is, I've always categorized it this way, Brother Ken and Dr. Phelps. We have four kinds of people. Four categories of people, I believe. Of course, you got two kinds of lost and saved. We got four categories, if you'd want to put it that way. First of all, you got the lost person. It's never been saved, never said yes to Jesus, never given it any thought. Then you got the saved person, one that's already prepared and ready for eternity. Then you have the procrastinator. The procrastinator, one's putting it off. You've got the one then that's undecided. Always saying, you know, I believe this, I know how to get saved, I know the scripture, but I'm just not ready to do it right now. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe those four categories identify perhaps you or someone you know or someone in your home or someone in your family. That is the lost person, the saved person, the procrastinator, and those that are undecided. Always ready to be saved, just not now. The question is, what category do you fit in? What category are you in? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this dialogue and discussion is designed to get your attention, cause you to look inward and make the determination, have I truly been born again? Am I just performing based on mythology? Am I making a decision based on false doctrine? Have I made a decision based on some loose likes lost living and a person that says it's okay to do anything you want to because God loves you and you're saved anyway? Rick, there's some, ladies and gentlemen, listen, that say that God has predestined some to heaven, predestined some to hell, and you can't do anything about it. That's an absolute mythology. That's a lie taught from John Calvin. That is not true, cannot be validated, not validatable any place in the scripture whatsoever. Decision to say yes to Jesus Christ is a volitional choice. And we either stand today lost or saved, but in the categories, some are procrastinating, some are simply undecided. So, men, let's talk about the saved person first. Just, Dr. Phelps, start us off. Has a person saved? Who is a saved person?
A saved person is one who has responded to the Word of God by repentance and faith. He has turned to God from his unbelief and from idolatry to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And we believe that it's possible for a person to be saved today if they will listen to the preaching of the gospel. And if they will be willing to turn to God from the bondage of sin. Many people don't realize it. When a person does not acknowledge God in his life and will not respond to the Word of God by hearing and believing and receiving God's Son, that person is subject to bondage. First of all, the bondage of doubt. He's in unbelief. There's the bondage of slavery or bondage of captivity, if you please. He's in bondage to sin, and he cannot help himself. So God sent his Son to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And if a man will respond, then Jesus can be our deliverer, our savior, our redeemer. And we have in him, in Christ, the hope of eternal life. He not only gives us that hope, but he forgives us so that we can have fellowship with God. We are reconciled to God through the death of his son. The cross that Jesus died upon is so important that we need to focus upon what happened there. Jesus laid down his life in our stead so that we'd be made free from the control and the consequences of sin. And we can have the hope of eternal life.
Absolutely. And that explains some things for our listeners. When we say we can have the hope, does that mean I surely hope I'm saved? I really hope that I've done the right thing. What does that word hope mean?
Well, one of the places we read about hope is in the New Testament book of Titus. The Apostle Paul talked about it. He's called it a blessed hope. Mm-hmm. It's the hope that Jesus is coming again, according to the promise that I mentioned a few minutes ago, when he said that he was coming again to receive us. We call that hope the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And that is associated with the resurrection. And here's where I would like to make a very important comment, is if we're going to have hope for the future, we need to know that we're going to be a part of the what they call the resurrection of life.
Yes.
Jesus is going to come again. It may be today. It's going to be soon, we believe, here at our church. We believe that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to call us out of where we are, whether we're already dead, whether we're looking and waiting for his return. He's going to come, and we'll hear his voice, and we're going to be resurrected. We need to be part of the resurrection of life. Now, there are two different directions that we need to think about here, two different resurrections. Some are going to be raised in the rapture and be with Jesus, and he's going to take us with him, with himself, and take us, transport us into heaven. And we'll be there with him and be with him forever. But there is another resurrection. It's called the resurrection of damnation. And that's for those who procrastinate and who refuse, who neglect God's great salvation in Christ.
Absolutely.
So we need to be careful that we're going to be a part of the first resurrection, which could happen very soon, and have the blessed hope that Paul talks about. Now, there's a passage in that same book of the Bible in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and it's a verse that talks about this hope that we have, a sure hope, and it reads like this: in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. Now, that is a wonderful, wonderful promise in the Bible. God has promised the hope, and it gives us hope, rather, of eternal life. And that hope can be not a wishful hope, but a hope that is certain. We can be certain because God has promised. God does not lie, and God's integrity backs it up. God has made a promise, and God's promises are faithful. We can believe God when we receive his word in our hearts, accept it, and believe his word, believe his promise. God has promised that we can be saved, that we can know for sure that we're going to heaven.
Absolutely. In fact, when you say that, Dr. Phelps, I look at John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I like that verse. Brother Ken, I'm reminded, when we use the term saved, some people may not understand that. I can recall less than 100 years ago, when I was in the professional world of real estate, had a captain, Captain Ramon. I don't know if he's still around in this life or not, but Captain Ramond is, I was driving him around in my car showing properties. I asked him the question, Captain Ramond, are you saved? He said, oh, yes, I've been saved five times. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I was in Vietnam and my helicopter was shot down, and I was, as I was crashing, I said, Lord, save me. He said, here I am. I'm still here. He said, another time, I said, I was in a foxhole while in battle and live ammo going over my head, and I said, Lord, save me. He said, I'm still here. And he went through five narrations of being saved. So explain to our listeners that that's not what we're talking about today.
Yeah, salvation occurs one time. Mm-hmm. But, and again, I'd like to go back and use the teachings of Christ as it relates in Matthew chapter 7 with this journey. Hodas was what Jesus calls it, which refers to a journey of an individual. In that metaphor, he gives us two ways, two gates, two destinations, mm-hmm. and two attitudes and approaches of the individual to those two options. What I mean by that is the ways he says there's a broad way, there's a narrow way. The broad way means that there's plenty of room. It's the way the majority of people will go. It allows broad-mindedness. It's highly trafficked. It's comfortable. It's natural. It's popular. In fact, you have to make no change whatsoever to yourself to go down that broad way. The gate is as wide as the way. Mm-hmm. There's no entering or restriction to the gate. You just keep going down the natural way, and you'll go through the gate. And the destination provided is destruction. Mm-hmm. Which is what Jesus taught about hell, and then later in the New Testament talks about the lake of fire. Now, the narrow way and the straight gate is unique, and the destination is life. The narrow way, it talks about this setting that emphasizes that it's not a spacious way, it's not comfortable, it's not easy to enter this way. Only a few find it. And it has this interesting concept. It's a physical act of pressing or squeezing until you feel some resistance to getting in. Mm-hmm. Jesus then taught that we have to strive to enter that gate. That's the Greek word for agonize.
Right. Agonizo.
Because, in fact, many will seek, but won't be able to enter. This agonizing, I believe, is the picture of the process of the Spirit of God taking the law initially and convicting the individual of their sin. And they begin to agonize over the existence of their sin. They realize that God is a judging, holy God against that sin, and their destination, unchanged, will end up in a place called the lake of fire. They have to change their mind, change their beliefs, understand the gospel, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That process is an agonizing, fretful, difficult process to go through. But unless you go through that agonizing process, you don't have the ability to enter that narrow gate.
And in these last few moments before our news break, Brother Ken, that agonizing process you talk about, I believe we can capsulize that for our listeners and simply call it repentance. Recognizing I'm a sinner, recognizing I'm on my way to hell, and repentance. That means change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe should get the attention of each and every one of us. What is eternal security? What does it mean to be saved? How do we have eternal life? We're going to take a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, for the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll continue our discussion, and we'll look forward to your dialogue and discussion on that issue. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.